American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii, but we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part of roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
On the Record
on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up to the new equation.
Now, there is a bill to be debated in the Dáil this Tuesday night trying to address the problem of homelessness, but it is not, as you'd usually see, a bill from Sinn Féin or a bill from the Labour Party or a bill from the Social Democrats. It's a bill from all of them. It's co-sponsored by spokespersons from five parties and indeed some independent TDs as well. But it's not been written by any of them. In fact, it has been put forward by the Simon community. And we're joined in studio now by Wayne Stanley, who's the head of policy at the Simon Communities. Wayne, thanks for coming in to us. You might explain fairly briefly what exactly your bill intends to do.
Thanks for having me on, Gavin. And what the bill does is responds to the crisis, part of the crisis that we're seeing in our frontline services. So what we see is people who've been given a valid notice to quit. They have been looking around for an alternative home in the private rental market, and people are optimistic. They think, you know, it's going to, I need one place to find one place. But it gets down to the last week and they realize they're in a crisis situation. At that point, they're presenting to the local authority or they're contacting a Simon community or one of the other NGOs who work in this area.
So people only realise late in the day that there's a genuine risk that they've got nowhere else to turn.
Yeah, people think don't ever think homelessness is going to happen to them. And they also think, you know, that they will get a place and something will turn up. So we get down to the last week and they realise they're in crisis and they present to a local authority. At that point, we have only a couple of days to try and bridge that gap. What this bill does was if they can present to a local authority and the local authority decides, yes, you're at imminent risk of homelessness, therefore they can trigger in the legislation, they can trigger a rule that allows an extension to their notice to quit.
Okay.
And what that does, the reason why that's important is the person is then connected with the local authority. And that means the resources that are there, which is week on week preventing people from crossing across the threshold of a homeless service, can kick in and gets an extended period to work with those individuals.
So there's a certain amount of prevention then better than cure, so that they will have a little bit of extra time to try and find some alternative accommodation rather than being out in the rears with nowhere else to go.
But also that the support supports that are there will be rolled in behind them. So we will see, it won't just be them on their own, it'll be the local authorities and organisations like Simon, Threshold Focus, will also be working with them.
I can imagine though that there would be prospective landlords listening to this who would say that, hang on, if I've already given someone a notice to quit or if somebody is scheduled to leave their apartment on the 31st of January, for example, and then it turns out with a week to go that actually they need an extension, then I can't go advertising for new tenants or my property is going to be tied up and I need a little bit more certainty as well. And there'd be some people who'd say that this will then end up being another thing that pushes landlords out of a system.
We have considered that argument, and that's why it's a limited period. That's why the engagement with the local authority is there. My experience with landlords is that they're as offended by the crisis in homelessness and by seeing homelessness as the rest of us are. We never hear the stories of the landlord who comes to an agency and says, I have people who are who I think may be vulnerable. We're selling up the property. Can you help them?
And that happens.
Does happen.
So you do get like landlords who come to you with a conscience who want to try and help their tenants.
Absolutely. And we should talk about them more perhaps. All this bill does is ask for a little forbearance from landlords to allow us to protect people from homelessness. It's only an additional 12 weeks. And we can do an awful lot of good in that time. I think landlords, what they don't want to be left, I think it's true, is they don't want to be left holding the can. Is there some sort of indefinite penance they're in until we deal with the homelessness crisis? Mm. But I think the majority of landlords, and certainly the ones that we would speak to, understand that a level of forbearance that would prevent somebody from the trauma of having to cross a homeless service would be welcome.
Because often if a notice to quit is being issued, it's not always because the landlord just wants to move the tenants out and just bring someone else in and to get a higher rent. It's because they might need the property for themselves, or they might be in negative equity and they might need to sell up, and they might feel quite chilled or burdened by the idea of then having to delay a little while because their tenant has nowhere else to go.
All of this is balancing, and that's what we've attempted to do in the bill. And I think we've hit the right balance, and an additional up to 12 weeks. What this bill really attempts to do is bridge that gap. And that gap is the answer to homelessness is a home. What we need is more public housing. We need more affordable housing. We need more social housing. While we get that to come on stream, and there's a plan, Housing for All, to bring that on stream. As we're working that up, we need to find ways to bridge the gap to stop seeing homelessness increases. We've seen 5 months of homelessness increase since the moratorium on evictions was lifted. Last month, that was 4%, an extra 300 people in homelessness. We have to find ways of slowing that down, of preventing it. And this bill is a really practical, targeted measure.
It's also a fairly short and concise bill. In fact, when you actually look at the substance of it, effectively, it's only 2 pages. And then the rest is the usual sort of Oireachtas window dressing at either end. If it is so simple, I suppose the argument can be made as to why hasn't it been done before? Or why does it need an external advocacy body like yours to draft this, when it's surely within the ken of a government to draft a 2-page bill that could solve this problem?
I think this is an example of where we can work best. I think what we're seeing, what we're bringing here, is the practical knowledge that comes from working on at the coalface of this, and putting the thought into how we might increase the protections that are there and utilise it better, the protections that are there. And that's when NGOs and government work best, when we work hand in glove around developing this kind of stuff.
Which actually brings me to another question, because I remarked in the introduction that it's unusual to have a bill which is co-sponsored by 6 different TDs from a multitude of parties and none. Was there any approach to going straight to the government to say, can you guys take this on board, or did you invite TDs from government parties to do so?
So this has been with the Minister's office for some time, and I know they have been considering it. It has gone to the Attorney General's office, but so far I haven't been able to build the momentum around it, or the Simon communities haven't been able to build up momentum around it. This is
but if you get
the
opposition parties to sponsor it, then it sort of pushes the government into making a decision to say take it or leave it.
Yeah, but it's also important that we talk about these things. As I say, we've had 5 months of increasing homelessness. One of the reasons why all those parties came together is they see the practical advantage of doing this. And when I, you know, convened a meeting of all of them to come together, what they were telling me was this is exactly what they're seeing in their own constituency offices, and they can see how practical a measure this is. In the scheme of things that a Department of Housing has to deal with every day, sometimes things get pushed down the priority list. I suppose this, the opposition coming together and bringing it forward, pushes it up the list. And I think if we could get this over the line, in January or February, we could really see the benefit of it.
So how material an impact then could it have? Because if you say that homelessness has increased for each month of the last 5, and this presumably, if adopted, would help a lot of those people, they could stay in their previous residence rather than being left outward, nowhere else to go. Would it make much of a dent, or would it have a real material impact almost overnight?
I think when the moratorium on evictions was lifted, we all thought homelessness would increase. What we didn't anticipate was the rate of increase we've seen over the last 5 months. As I say, last month alone, an extra 300 people in homelessness, a 4% increase. So the potential to do, to see, at least to stem that flow in, and to see a reduction in homelessness, or at least for that homelessness would stay to stand still while we bring the properties online to support people out, I think is enormous.
Finally, and just on a wider note, 'tis the season, and there's a lot of people who are usually thinking very altruistically this time of year about charity donations and the like. Talk to us about how Simon's fundraising is going and the sort of impact that December has on you guys. Mm.
December is absolutely our most important month of the year. I think 60 to 70% of all of our fundraised money comes in around this time of year. That's not to say we have great supporters who support us throughout the year, but I think it's particularly concentrated. I suppose homelessness comes to the front of mind at this time of year. as always, people are responding magnificently to Simon. And I suppose I just put out the call that if people are thinking about it, they could think of the Simon community and go to the Simon in their local community. It is the we're in 7 different areas. If you go to simon.ie, you'll find your local community. And if you're not in a situation perhaps to make a financial donation, there are other ways you can support, and maybe you might think about that.
Great stuff. Wayne Stanley, Head of Policy at the Simon Communities of Ireland, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us this lunchtime on The Record.
On The Record on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up to the new equation.